It's time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. We're so happy to have you with us today. I'm Scott McCauley, and of course, on our At Your Service podcast, we feature a wide variety of shows. Of course, we have our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and of course, deer seasons are coming up. We'll be updating a lot of information there over the next few weeks. We occasionally have our friends from the Taney County Health Department come by to give us some messages, and one of our other regulars is our monthly visit with the Stone County Community Health Coalition. And as you can probably guess, since I saved it for last, that is what we're doing today, which means that I have to turn this microphone on and introduce the person I call the coordinator of the Stone County Community Health Coalition podcast. Her name is Monica Miller. Monica, how are you doing today?
Great. How about you, Scott?
Doing just fine. It is hard to believe it's November.
It's freaking me out.
I know. It's November.
Do you have your Christmas shopping done?
No. Right. And the funny thing is, you're not the first person to ask that question.
Oh.
Because I go out and around. I was buying Halloween candy last week.
Right.
Right.
And you saw the Christmas stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Because the store I go to is the one just around the corner here, and I do go every year and usually buy it, and I bought it, I think, a few days before. It's like the Halloween candy section is now the Christmas section. Now, they still had Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it was outrageous, wasn't it? Did you end up spending over $50?
I did. I went a little crazy this year.
Anything for the children.
Good news is, because it was so cold, if I can keep it, I probably have enough candy for next year, too, because it was, the cold kind of kept some folks away, but still, it was good.
It was nice.
It was
good. It was a great day.
I still
day.
Get mad at the people that said, hey, you dressed up as a radio announcer this year, and go, that's what I do every day, so there you go. Anyway, hey, you know, before we get into this, I did want to ask you a little bit, and we talked a little bit about this off air, and not specifics, but I know we're starting to hear again about, kind of COVID and flu kind of making the rounds. We're getting into the flu season.
Yes.
Then we got, COVID kind of still hanging around out there.
Yes.
And I think it'd be a good time just to remind people to kind of be vigilant about that.
Absolutely. So, again, that the hand washing is so, so important. But more importantly, getting a vaccination is very important as well. And there's nothing wrong with, going ahead and getting your flu and COVID shot at the same time. There are many places you don't have to come to the health department. You know, there are pharmacies, there are doctor's offices. But if you haven't thought about that, and perhaps, you haven't had the booster, or you've only had one booster, this would really, really be a great time to go ahead and schedule that appointment. I wait until November, and I know some people prefer to get their flu shot in October. I prefer November, and I'm going to double down. And
it's kind of like it kind of got out of sight, out of mind, because we talked about the fact that COVID was going to kind of be put in the box with flu and some other seasonal, although it can be year-round. But I think it just, as I said, I was telling you, I don't remember the last time I had a shot. I've had the two initial shots and a booster, but it's been so long that it's, I can't even remember the last time I had it.
Right, and it will be a great thing. I do know some people who have traveled out of the country, and unfortunately they've come back and they have picked up COVID, so it's not just here, it's worldwide. And when you travel on a plane or you decide to take a cruise, just be proactive and preventative and take care of yourself and your family and others.
The other thing we want to talk about before we get to our guest today, and yes, it is our third and final in the series with the College of the Ozarks Nursing Program.
I know, it's sad. I'm with two favorite people and then two new favorite people.
It's really sad. And people,
thanks
know,
for bringing that up.
Yes,
Scott.
I know. Well, and I've got more on the way on that. But anyway,
okay.
We'll save that for later. But we do these programs in third, so we'll have a great series coming up beginning December with the Galena's Public Health class and, of course, the GoCaps program later. But there's not a lot we talk about on this program that goes back to something I can even remember in my younger days. But this event that's coming up in November has been around forever.
Yes.
It is still here. It's Great American Smokeout time, isn't it?
It is. It's November, and I just always like to touch on this. I know it's repetitive, but it is so, so important. And, I just always want to, number one, give a shout out to Jim Bronner for being the most amazing smoking cessation mentor of all time and really helping people quit in Taney County. He's been at it for a little over 10 years. I'm at 10 years for freedom from smoking and Baby and Me tobacco free. And it is one of my greatest passions in my work, in my professional life, but it touches me in a in a personal way where, you know, you feel good about people quitting. And I think November is a great time to quit because you can be quit by Christmas. What a great gift to yourself, and what a great way to go into the new year. So we have two major programs that we do at Stone County Health Department. Baby and Me Tobacco Free focuses on women who would like to quit, who are pregnant. And if they quit in the first or second trimester, they're eligible for a $50 gift voucher at Walmart for diapers and wipes and things for the babies for 6 months. And that really just kind of reinforces the importance that the babies quit, the mamas quit, and it's really the best thing that they could do for each other. So that's one program. We also have Freedom from Smoking, where I can do it as classes or individual counseling, and that is available year round. And I will start with anybody. So if anybody hears this message and thinks, you know, I really want to do that this year, I want to go into 2024, quit. I want to have, you know, a healthy life. I don't want to be spending all of that money. I don't want to be harming my body. So call me. I'm available. 417-357-6134. And I would love to arrange a time where we can begin your quit journey.
Yeah. And it's always amazing. And we've talked to Jim himself about this several times, about how these programs go. And the one thing that always amazed me about them is they're not cold turkey programs.
No.
Where you just, okay, one day you're quitting and you go from there, because I think they realize that that's just not realistic.
Right. And so we spend, you know, time learning how to quit, and then we quit. So that is part of the journey. Cold turkey only works for, you know, maybe 1 in 10 people. And that's great if people can do that. But there's still the other 9 out of 10 who needs either nicotine replacement therapy help, coaching help, class help, peer kind of support, where it's almost like a support group. And we just have all those options available for people. So we love that part of our job.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but our podcasts are kind of like Branson shows, and a lot of shows, because you have the opening act, which is kind of people get settled in. That's
right.
What you and I
right.
do here.
Right. And you're the highlight of that part. They're like, oh, it's Monica. This is a slow roll here. And then we have the superstars coming up.
Yes. And then you and I finish the podcast, which we don't want everyone to click off once the superstars are done, because we will have some important information. But this is
absolutely
our third and final group of College of the Ozarks nursing students coming through today. Monica, why don't you introduce them to us?
We have Micah and Autumn, and both of them have taken on some important public health messages for November. Micah was really interested in diabetes awareness and education, so she has a lot of information to share about what diabetes is, what you can do for it, how to help yourself, and all the things that go along with that. And then Autumn's kind of backing me up today in the sense that it is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, so she's going to bring up some things that, you know, will help prevent lung cancer. So their public health messaging couldn't be better, couldn't be more helpful for what we want people to know about here in the month of November.
Yeah, and it seems like in a lot of the interviews we've done, not only on the podcast, but on Ozarks Now, we've been talking to folks also involved in athletics. Micah fits into that category. She's
yes.
also a member of the CFO Lady Bobcat volleyball team, which, as we record this, I believe got a win last night, right?
Yes, we did.
All right, so congratulations on that. And, you know, it's always interesting, because I know when you're trying to balance, of course, at College of the Ozarks, you always balance the work program to begin with and then all the other things going on. But then you know, spend time in this program, which is certainly very intensive. And Autumn, I'm going to ask you the same questions here in a moment, because we always have the introductory questions here. And that is, first off, how'd you end up at CFO and in the nursing program? What path led you here?
Okay, so my mom played basketball at CFO, and so she always kind of not pushed me to go to CFO, but she's like, you should go check it out. It's a really great school. And I always knew I wanted to do nursing, and they have a super great nursing program at College of the Ozarks, like what you were saying. And I went on a visit with Coach Muckenthaler, and that day I was like, oh, this is exactly where I need to be. So I committed that day, the same day that she offered me. And here I am at C of O playing volleyball and in the nursing program.
Yeah. Well, and this, I'm going to age myself here, but I've been around so long that I remember when Coach Munkenthaler was player there. In fact, we used to have an athlete of the week program years ago. She was the second one ever in that program. I won't tell you how long ago, because that'll age both of us. So, and she probably would appreciate that. What was it that interested you in nursing so much? What was it that really kind of called to you and say, this is what I want to do?
I just always really knew that I wanted to help people from a really young age. And I just felt, probably since I was like 13, that I just felt like I wanted to help people in my life. And God just put a calling on my life of nursing. And then I got in a really bad ATV accident when I was 16 and broke my femur, and I was in the hospital. And I had super great nurses who were there and supported me. Like you said, I was an athlete in high school as well. And that felt like my world was ending whenever that happened to me. And my nurses just encouraged me when I was in the hospital that I could do whatever I wanted to do as long as I put my mind to it. And they really encouraged me while I was there and gave me the strength to, you know, just continue in healing and putting my faith in God.
Kind of sounds like a pay it forward kind of what's going there, isn't it? A little bit. Yeah. So is there, once you graduate, and I believe you're graduating next spring, right?
Yes.
Yeah, next spring. So you'll be, what is it? Is there a particular area you're looking to focus on?
I really like the neonatal ICU.
Mm-hmm.
I did like a externship this past summer, and that was my very last rotation. And I think within like the first hour I was there, I was like, yep, this is exactly where I need to be.
Well, and as we said, we always put our students to work when they come in, and Diabetes Awareness Month is happening in the month of November. So, Micah, let's go through some of the information you have to provide for us on this topic today and what we need to know.
Yeah, so I'll just give you a couple statistics to start off with. They're pretty shocking to me. So more than 37 million United States adults have diabetes, and 1 in 5 of them don't know that they even have it. So it's kind of a little hidden killer is what a lot of people like to call it, just because people don't really know what's causing their blood sugar to shoot up, and it ends up killing them in the long run because it has a lot of long-term effects on people. So diabetes is also the number one cause of kidney failure, lower limb amputations, and adult blindness. Like I said, it just sneaks up on people and they don't really know that they're even affecting their bodies that much. So it's the 8th leading cause of death in the United States currently. So it's just a chronic health condition that affects how your body turns food into energy pretty much. So with diabetes, your body, there's two types, and then there's gestational diabetes, which I can get into that later. But so type one, your body just doesn't really, it like stops your body from making insulin. So it just doesn't make enough insulin at all. And then with type two, it just can't use it as well as your body's expecting it to. And so type one, you have to be taking insulin to survive. And they catch that a lot whenever people are in their younger years. And then type two diabetes is the one that really sneaks up on you, but it can really be controlled with proper diet. A lot of people in my family have type 2 diabetes, and my grandma specifically, her A1C right now is 6, which that's just like the effects of the insulin on your body, like how well you're managing your diabetes after you get diagnosed. And a lot of doctors recommend that if you're a diabetic, that's below 7. So my grandma is there. She's at a 6 right now, and she's really just controlling that with diet and just making sure that you're checking your blood sugar every day if you're at risk. And if you have family members who have diabetes, just making sure that you're keeping a close eye on that and checking it. So there isn't a cure yet for it at all. So, but losing weight and eating healthy food and being active can really help. So just getting outside and walking 30 minutes a day, or just moving your body any way that you can, is really better than nothing at all. So just making and keeping healthcare appointments and keeping close eye on your body whenever you start to notice that something's going wrong, and just making sure that you do get it checked out whenever something doesn't feel right.
Okay. And you said there was a third type of diabetes. What was that?
Yes, that's gestational diabetes.
Okay.
And I know a lot of times people think, oh, like I'm not taking care of my body right, and that's what caused this. But really, gestational diabetes can affect anyone. It doesn't matter how active you are or how inactive you might be. It can sneak up on you too. And it's just like a woman who doesn't really have diabetes before they're pregnant, and then they end up getting pregnant and their body's kind of in overdrive, so doesn't really know what to do. So it just starts kind of freaking out a little bit and not processing your insulin properly and making your blood sugar shoot up, which can affect your baby in the long run. And often gestational diabetes can be controlled through your diet and proper exercise. Not a ton of pregnant women have to use insulin, but some of them do. So every year, about 2 to 10% of women in the United States get diagnosed with gestational diabetes. And it can really affect anyone, like I said. And the diabetes does go away soon after delivery for a lot of women, but occasionally it does stay in the long run, and that turns into type 2 diabetes. But like I said, they can control that with a healthy diet and exercise and just continuing to do that. And if you had gestational diabetes with one pregnancy, you're more than likely going to have it with your next one. And she should also just check her blood sugar after she has the baby several times just to make sure that it isn't turning into type 2 diabetes.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't know if this is the right way to say it. I know Monica and I have talked about this, and Frank, other healthcare professionals, that a lot of times we come up with issues, and it seems like we look for answers over in left field or right field, and sometimes, you know, diabetes is such a common term, I almost think we take it for granted. Do you think sometimes that people overlook diabetes as an answer to some of their problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times people get in denial about it. They're like, oh, I'm not that bad about my diet, or I go outside sometimes and I exercise, but people just aren't as consistent with it as they should be. I mean, probably myself included, I probably don't eat as well as I should be, but just like using the MyPlate, like what you should be eating every day, and exercising, like I said, but for sure, I don't think people are consistent with their diets and their exercise like they should be.
Almost sounds like a lot of this could be handled just through education, which this Awareness Month does. I mean, it not only educates on what diabetes is and what it can cause, but also what you can do to, if not prevent it, at least corral it. Was there anything when you were looking at this, and I know, I'm sure you've studied this, you know, all the years you've been in the program, was there anything when you did this particular month that, that surprised you and said, you know what, I really didn't think about it this way?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that if they do have type 2 diabetes, that they can like cut down the long-term effects of it. Like, I think a lot of people think when they get diagnosed, that's like a death sentence for them, and they can't do anything to fix it. And so they're like, I'm not even going to try to manage it because there's nothing I can really do. Like I said, just that like proper diet and exercise can cut down your numbers and like make the long-term effects on your body not as brutal, I would have to say, just because it is pretty brutal after you get into the long-term effects of it. So really just like you can manage it if you do get diagnosed with it, but the main thing you should do is prevent it in the first place, and that diet and exercise.
Diet, it's the two words we don't like to hear, but it makes sense. Yes. Diet and exercise, doesn't
yes.
it? Would you also find out, Micah, that it's something that maybe people think once they've got it, they're stuck with it, but they don't realize that there's some answers that can help them?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of that is just like on healthcare providers, just educating people that they can change their life and like turn it around. I'll use another family member, for example. My dad got diagnosed last year with type 2 diabetes, and he's a college basketball athlete, just like my mom. So they're both athletes in college. And, you know, it just, like I said, just sneaks up on you and you don't really see it coming. But since he got diagnosed, he's walked like 3 miles a day outside. My dad's still pretty young, so
yeah,
he can still get out and do stuff like that, and he's definitely been eating better. So yeah, I think it's definitely a lot of it is on healthcare providers and like giving people that hope that they can cut down the long-term effects of it, and just educating them on proper diet and proper exercise.
So Monica, what I'm going to do is when we get done with this podcast, we'll just simply cut that segment out. I mean, we'll keep it in the podcast, but cut it out. And if someone asks you a question about diabetes, just play it, because I think she pretty well covered it, didn't she?
Absolutely. What I'm blown away, I know they get a lot in college, you know, their classes, they go through diabetes education over and over and over. And I'm sure she's just like, oh man, I need to deal with it again. But she did a beautiful job. And I think the ultimate thing is that we give people hope. And
yes,
that's what I heard.
Yes. And in fact, that's kind of permeates the whole College of the Ozarks Nursing Program, too, which
yes.
we've been finding out. So,
yes.
Micah, very nice job. It
yes.
was good visiting with you. Okay, Autumn, you are up. Make sure that microphone's close to you there, and let me make sure you get turned up here. And same question. Obviously, I think you're getting ready to graduate, too, right?
I am,
all
yes.
right. So, yeah. See, Monica, they probably both have calendars in their room, you know, that's
yeah.
countdown.
The countdown, yeah.
How many? 99?
6 months, about. I don't know.
Yeah.
Math.
Well, when,
I'm like, what?
When it gets to the first of the year, we'll become minutes
right.
and seconds.
Yes.
So
okay.
that's how it goes. Autumn, tell us how you found your way to College of the Ozarks.
So I heard about College of the Ozarks as a little girl because I had a family friend that went to College of the Ozarks. I really looked up to her. And at the time, I just heard about it and kind of just stuck in my mind until I was in high school. And then it just sounded really appealing financially, first of all. And also, I decided I want to do nursing, and there's a really good nursing program, like Micah said. So I played a big role in it, too. And I really fell in love with the idea of going to College of Ozarks. I only applied to C of O, I then just prayed that I would get in, and I've really loved it.
Yes, and so what was kind of the thing that spurned in you that you thought nursing was going to be your career path?
So honestly, I was someone who kind of liked a little bit of everything, so I didn't really know what I wanted to do for a long time. Always changed my mind. Then I got the idea to do nursing just because I also just love people, and so it just makes sense, I guess, that way. I also really like science and health and all that. But I was never, like, super sure, and I was like, well, just go for it. And then once I've been in college, it's my desire, I would say, it was grown that way, through being in the program and seeing what it entails.
Any particular area of nursing that you're looking to work in after you graduate?
Yes, I would love to work in labor and delivery, because I would love to eventually get my master's in midwifery and be a nurse midwife, so I want to go.
You know, we talked about this with Micah, everyone that's come through here, that a lot of what nursing means is not only treating but educating and stuff, and that's what we're going to let you do here for a few minutes, because we've already talked, of course, about the Great American Smokeout, the smoking cessation programs and stuff, but it's also Lung Cancer Awareness Month, so let's talk a little bit about that and some of the information you have found out.
Yes, so going off what Monica said, it is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and so I found that lung cancer kills more people than any other cancer, even though it is preventable. 9 out of 10 types of cancer, lung cancers, are caused by smoking tobacco products. Cigarettes, cigars, pipes. Also, e-cigarettes play a role in that as well. And it begins in the lungs and can spread to other organs in the body, or it can move somewhere else to the lungs and metastasize. There's two different types, small cell and non-small cell. And non-small cell cancer is more common. Some symptoms of lung cancer people experience: coughing that gets worse and doesn't go away, chest pain, shortness of breath, wheezing, coughing up blood sometimes, and people can feel really tired all of the time. And then some people have weight loss with no known cause. Another big factor is secondhand smoke. Even if you don't smoke, if you're exposed through family or friends, that can increase your risk by 20 to 30%. And this is why it's so important for people to quit smoking when they have family and are around people, and just for the sake of other people's health, not only themselves, and especially in children. And it's important too, if you have risk factors, that you're getting screenings. If you smoke, you should receive a low dose CT scan every year if you're between 50 and 80. But there's also different markers that tell you how often you should get screened and when you should start.
You know, a lot of things kind of rang true, and I'll kind of, and I don't mean to do this in a funny way, because I'm going to kind of age us all a little bit. I know that we're going to talk with Rebecca here in a little bit, and I think she and her group kind of falls in the medium age range. I think you all are in the age range where smoking wasn't common. Monica, you and I fall in the age range where smoking was a very common thing.
And they were still advertising to children,
right?
And kind of like the Wild West with vaping now.
Yeah, and so with all that being said, there's a lot, I mean, you know, especially older Americans now come from a culture where smoking was accepted, although I think even a lot of those, I mean, my dad quit smoking at a late age and is still around, but he, you know, he finally was able to kick the habit. So I guess one thing I want to ask you is that, when people are still in the smoking trap, we'll call it, I mean, there is hope for them to get out, isn't there? I mean, it's not just something that it's hopeless, and even if they quit at an older age, there's still going to be benefits, right?
Right. As Monica was saying, some people can quit cold turkey, but a lot of times there's nothing wrong with doing a taper and using a nicotine substitutes for a while and just getting help. A lot of times it's hard to do yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have some people around you to cheer you on.
You know, there was a great push a few years ago and frankly, most areas now are smoke-free. I mean, there are very few establishments. I mean, some that would be obvious that would still maybe allow some smoking. But again, back in our day, smoking in all establishments were there. Do you think a lot of people underestimate sometimes the effects maybe that secondhand smoke can have on individuals not smoking, but maybe they still have these issues?
Oh, yes, for sure. I think that people don't understand that the air quality is what is causing it a lot of times. So especially when you're smoking in the home, that can create, it kind of stays. We all know that smoke kind of lingers, and that still affects everyone who is breathing in the air. So I think that's definitely true.
Was there anything else you found out as you were going through this? You said, wow, that's something I really hadn't thought about.
Yes, I actually learned about another cause of lung cancer that I didn't know about was radon. I didn't talk about this before, but it's a gas that some houses have, And if you're exposed to it, then you can increase your risk for lung cancer. It can't be smelled, seen, or tasted, so it can go unnoticed. And it's a radioactive gas that can creep in through gaps and cracks in the foundation of homes and buildings. So often it's in older homes. CDC actually says that 1 in 15 homes may have high radon levels. So if you maybe are concerned about your home, you can purchase a do-it-yourself radon test kit online, or you can hire a professional. But if your home is high, you can install a radon reduction system pretty affordably to lower your risk. But I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you brought it up, because quite frankly, I would say over the years, and Monica might back this up, that when we've talked about lung cancer, we've almost focused squarely on cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and all the permeations of that. But don't even think sometimes that there are other sources that can cause lung cancer that have nothing to do with smoking, and radon's just one of those. So I guess awareness of and an education, again, important, really knowing this, isn't it?
Yes, especially 1 in 15 homes, that's a lot. So definitely worth testing if your home is old or maybe could have foundational problems.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, we live in an older home, and I hadn't even thought about that. That actually makes some sense. That's really good information to know. So as far as these programs that we've talked about, Monica touched on them a little bit, or you touched on them, I would say probably in education, again, kind of very important for folks. Would it be a good idea, you think, to reach out to healthcare professionals if and also organizations like the health department and these cessations, you know, maybe they're a little bit scared, but go ahead and reach out and find out. That's a good idea for folks to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think that a lot of times people are so used to hearing it from doctors, like, you need to quit. But it really has to be up to the individual. So whenever someone's ready, it's definitely important to get help, because you got to get support around you to quit.
And as you get into your nursing career, and as you said, you both have indicated you're kind of going to really get into the, with the families that are having babies and get into that side of it. This is really going to be important information, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. A big part of our jobs will be a lot of parental education. How to protect your child and your infant. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say this because we're not on video, but I will have to say, as Rebecca Hammond got to the other microphone, she was kind of going, yeah, these are my students. These are my students. These are, how can you not be proud of what you hear every time we have some of these students in here?
I'm so proud. This can be kind of intimidating, but they take their topics and they run with it, and they are just so prepared. And I think part of that, too, is just the knowledge that they've obtained throughout the program. I mean, it's not just learn it for that class and then forget it. I mean, they really understand the material, they know it, and they practice it when we go to clinical. So.
And, of course, Rebecca Hammond, part of the CFO nursing program. If you don't remember us from our previous podcast. You know, I don't ever think we've really talked about this, but, you know, we talk about healthcare professionals in the fact where, whether it's a doctor or a nurse, we talk about that patient nurse, patient, doctor relationship. But a lot of what this has become is what we're doing today.
Yes.
Going out, speaking to groups, going out, doing interviews and conveying information, whether it's one-on-one or to a group or to, like, we're going to be here on the podcast to several folks. I mean, those are skills that really is needed as well. They're needed.
Right. Yeah. Right. And they do such a good job with that when they go to clinical. You know, they have over 900 clinical hours. And several agencies, like over 45 different agencies that they have throughout the program, of some in just in the community, some in the hospital. And so they get a great variety. But at each of those clinical sites, these students are always communicating with the patient, communicating with the healthcare team, communicating with the families. And so a big part of their nursing role is that education. We can see there's just endless amount of topics that could be communicated and taught to our patients. And so they first have to understand the material to know how to communicate and teach these patients about that topic. So,
well, and I have to say this, I get complimented sometimes because I do this for a living and we talk and have great conversations. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to tell on myself, I am probably one of the worst if I am talking to a doctor or nurse and they say, what is wrong with you? And I go, well, you know, over here is a little pain and there's another pain over here. I'm just not, because sometimes I don't talk the language. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that people have to go through, which I know you emphasize. We've talked about this before, is being able to try to interpret to the best of your ability what a patient is trying to tell you.
Right. And sometimes we kind of have these mystery cases. And so it's just these students use their critical thinking and to be able to reason through, okay, well, it's not this, maybe it's this, or they have to collaborate with the healthcare team of, we think this is going on, because sometimes it's not always just black and white where we can know exactly what's going on. And they also know to kind of use the terminology that the patient will be better to understand, because not everyone has a level of teaching and terms that we use in the nursing healthcare profession.
And especially the way that it's done at College of the Ozarks. I know we talked about this last month, and you emphasized, and I want you to repeat this because it's so important,
okay,
about how important it is to have an understanding and a connection with the person you're talking to, especially as a patient, because and I don't know if it was on this program or another program, it's like a lot of times you're seeing them, oh, I know, I heard this on one of our other podcasts from a first responder. They said, you know, a lot of times when you're talking to these people, you're talking to them on their worst day, and you
right.
really got to kind of get inside and realize what's going through their mind, not only their body.
Right. And I feel like so many of our students have that compassion. They truly see this as a service and a calling, and it is a ministry. And so they're not only there to just meet the physical needs, they're there to meet the spiritual and the emotional, and it really is a holistic nursing care that they're providing. And so they do get on that level with the patient to really understand what is going on. And it may not be a physical need, it may just, they need prayer, or it's a spiritual need. And so there are many times we hear stories of students going into the patient room, and you know, it's someone's birthday and she's by herself, and they sing happy birthday, or they sing a hymn, and it just brings tears to the patient's eyes, because it's like, wow, these students took time to not just go through the task list, but to see that I just need someone to just be present, to hold my hand, to sing a song. And we hear those testimonials all the time, and we have, you know, family members of C of O faculty and staff that say, wow, one of your students took care of us, and it was unbelievable. And so it just shows that they truly are just going out and making a huge impact and influencing communities and families, and it gets us so excited when we hear those testimonials.
College of the Ozarks is a perfect example of this, but I can use a lot of other analogies. Of course, we've talked often about, you know, your husband Jacob being a coach and working with sports and doing all that stuff. Yeah, I know. And again, you know, Jacob's
he's not, great. I love him.
Yeah. Oh, we all love him too. And but I know I've heard coaches say this a lot. I even heard him say this when he was a head coach. A lot of a program is not only the physical and especially in this case the intellectual skills, but it's the person themselves. When someone is going into the College of the Ozarks nursing program and you have students inquire with you or mm-hmm. your colleagues about this, I assume you kind of talk to them about this. Yes, you may have the skills, but you also need to have this emotional and this kind of set of characteristics we feel to get through. I mean, that's probably part of the things you talk about, isn't it?
It is. You know, we're looking for students that can think critically, that have communication skills, that have ability to work with the team. Obviously, they have compassion and want to help, which we could hear that in both Autumn and Micah today as kind of their desire to serve and help others. You know, detail-oriented, they're responsible, they're a hard worker. And so we have, you know, Bobcat Days on campus where we have, you know, high school students looking to see if nursing profession is something they want to do. And so they talk with us. We have students that are unsure, and we say, you know, you could go shadow some healthcare role, whether it be nursing or something else, to see if this is something you want to do. And so there are a lot of options in the helping profession, but nursing is the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I will tell you, of course, it's hard to remember every single podcast we've done and every interview we've done with students over the years, but I will tell you one thing that it's always amazed me, and I don't want to say amazed because it sounds like I was shocked by it. I'm not really, because I know the program well enough to know that every student that you've ever brought here or any of your colleagues have brought mm-hmm. here have had that passion. We can say, I mean, Monica and I have talked about it before, not only on the podcast, we even talked about it off podcast before, just visiting about that. So that, I think that's a real hallmark of the program, and you and the whole school should be commended for that, because it really does show every time we talk to them.
Well, thank you.
You bet. If people want more information about the program, what's the best way to get it?
Okay, so you can reach out to our admin assistant clinical coordinator, which is Kristen Youngblood. The office number is 417-690-2418, or you can check out the C of O website. That is www.cofo.edu, and you can click on nursing and can see a little bit more about our nursing program and then the college as a whole.
All right. Hey, Monica, you want to grab one of the mics there real quick? We'll just kind of get in here to wrap up. And again, please do not click off because, yes, the stars of the show are done now. But I will tell you, Monica and I do have some important information we want to give to you before. And, of course, that's keeping updated with the quick update on the coalition itself.
It's doing great. The coalition is still meeting monthly. We still have a great diverse group that really wants to work on our health priorities, which are really trying to look at poverty, which we are calling social health. The big term is social determinants of health, but we're focusing on what we can do to help support the community who is living in poverty. We're also working on substance use and misuse, prevention to treatment, really looking at marijuana use, tobacco use, and opioids, and really trying to get a gauge on how we can help members in our community. We're also working on mental health, specifically suicide and suicide prevention. Stone County has a much higher rate of suicide than the state. So the veterans have really stepped up, and they're helping us with that, and of course the schools, and we'll hear more about QPR, especially with the public health class. And then, did I say all four? No, sorry. Okay, and heart disease. Goodness, that was like a brain burp. I apologize. and then heart disease, as far as prevention and treatment, and if it is a chronic condition, you know, how can we support? And it really ties back to Micah, that diet piece and the physical activity piece. But what I really want to do is just, because this is our last session for this year with College of the Ozark students, just thank them. And I think ultimately what I saw throughout these months was just their love for humanity is shown from their love of God. And basically they are able to shine that light onto people through God, but their ultimate love for the people that they want to serve, and not everybody can do that. I know nurses, you know, are serving profession. Teachers are, our EMTs, our police officers. I don't think that you're not out of a service job either, Scott. I mean, you serve our community and you serve it well. So it's not just people that are on the front lines. It's people who are our infrastructure, people like you. And I appreciate you shining the light of love throughout our community. So and then the girls and the guys that have been here. But you could just hear it in their voices every time. And I'm not going to cry. I'm close and they know I am. But I am just so impressed. And they're one of our greatest members of the coalition. So if you do want to be a part of our coalition and anything kind of spoke to your heart or your mind and you think, oh, I want to be a part of something that's positive for our community, please reach out. We do meet monthly, but we also have a Facebook page for Stone County Community Health Coalition. Or if you want to quit smoking, we're also there for the health department so that you can get me either from the number that I mentioned earlier, or you can go on our website, stonecountyhealthdepartment.com, all lowercase, and click under the community section, and there's all kinds of programs that we would like to help you with.
All right. Well, we'll go around the horn real quick. Becca, thank you so much for bringing the students in the last few minutes, you and Debbie and everyone else over there.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Micah Autumn, good job today, and best of luck to you in your careers as you go on. And Monica, we'll see you next month.
That's right.
With our second group. That is going to be the Galena Public Health class that will be joining us on our next segments of the Stone County Community Health Coalition. Of course, all of this a part of the Branson Podcast Network. And again, thanks to everyone for being with us today. Don't forget, we do have those Stone County Community Health Coalition Galena Public Health class shows coming up here over the next few weeks. Of course, we'll also have our weekly visits with the Missouri Department of Conservation continuing right here on the At Your Service podcast. And don't forget to check out all the shows we have available for you right now on the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. Thanks for joining us, and see you soon.